hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life by fighting and fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe the fact. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me, running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run it down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on lightresistanceradio.com. With lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, our trust fund kid, that's our prime minister, right? He just staggers from one crock of nonsense to another. We're getting here yet another one of these Muslim feasts, and our trust fund kid prime minister has something he wants to say. On Muslim holiday, Trudeau promotes racial harmony. Well, maybe if you didn't keep flooding this country with radically unassimilable people, we would have more racial harmony. Diversity doesn't bring about an army. Diversity brings about conflict and disunity. Anyway, according to the National Post, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says, now more than ever, Canadians must stand together against racism and Islamophobia. Well, that's right. Racism. Racism. What's that? Well, that's, preferring your own people. That's healthy. Favoring your own people. Support for your own people. So we have to stand against that. And Islamophobia. Oh, okay. Being afraid of Muslims. Well, most of the terrorist actions in the past 10 years have been committed by people in the name of Islam. I'm, of course, not all Muslims are terrorists. I'm not saying that. That wouldn't be true. But it is a problem. So you would be stupid, dumb, ill-advised not to be just a little bit leery of Muslims. Maybe they don't fit in. Maybe they follow beliefs that are radically different from ours and in conflict with ours. Maybe having them close to close and personal to us is not a good idea. But that's what we've got to be against. Trudeau made the comments in Saskatoon while delivering remarks recognizing the beginning of Eid al-Adha, a Muslim holiday. Eid al-Adha. I'm waiting to see if the trust fund kid will make any comments on the eve of Christmas. I mean, actually gag out the word Christmas, you know. That's what I'd like to hear. And I'll be watching. That's what I'll be watching. He's the Prime Minister of the Muslims, the Sikhs, the LGBTQ, sexually mixed up, the transgendered, and the Native Indians. Whether we are in a big town or small, we must continue to stand together, united against racism, hatred, and Islamophobia. I see. Well, what about dislike white people? You know a lot about that from some of the third worlders. They don't like us very much. Well, what about that? Oh, I guess we won't hear much about that. This is just who we are as Canadians. No, that may be who you are. An idiot. We are there for each other. We stand up for each other. Do you really stand up for us? Third worlders compose only a tiny part of the Canadian Army. They're about 20% of the Canadian population, and of the 156 Canadian soldiers who died over a 10-year period in Afghanistan, only four were visible minorities. Maybe they're not standing on guard so much for Canada as he'd like us to stand up for them. There's the Prime Minister of the Muslims, the Sikhs, the Native Indians, and the LGBT crowds telling us we've got to fight against racism and Islamophobia. Oh yeah, another privileged group. What are they up to now? The group in question, well, that's the Canadian Jewish Tribune, Canadian Jewish News. That's put out by the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. And one of the groups you're quoting is another part of the Jewish lobby, and that's the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. So, they're in a state of near hysteria over some graffiti that was spray-painted on a wall near a highway just north of Toronto, and it said, "Hitler was right." And the Canadian Jewish News identifies this as anti-Semitic graffiti. Anti-Semitic graffiti that was discovered on the side of a freeway north of Toronto. Oh my gosh. Oh! The black shirts are back in town. You have to be able to deconstruct some of this nonsense. Captions often carry a lot more weight than you might imagine. Anti-Semitic graffiti was discovered on the side of a freeway north of Toronto on September the 1st. Anti-Semitic graffiti. Okay, what we are showing is Hitler was right. Now, is that anti-anything? No, it's not. The three words say that Hitler was right. Right about what? Well, the sign doesn't say. Does it say anything against Jews or about Jews? No, it doesn't. It's nothing to do with Jews. I know they tend to be a very self-centered group, and it's all about us. But no, sorry, that's not what the sign. That's not what the spray-painted three words say. They say Hitler was right. It's, I suppose, up to the reader's imagination to figure out in what way he was right. Let me suggest three ways in which Hitler was right. Hitler was right about economics. How do we know? Well, he took over a Germany broken by the Great Depression. Huge unemployment, mass despair, a ruined middle class. Within 2 years, he had full employment. Germany was humming. Not only did workers have jobs, they had good jobs. And they were the beneficiaries of legislation that protected them, that granted them paid holidays. More than that, though, the state provided places in the mountains by the sea where workers, ordinary people, could go on their holiday. Now, no other country in the West was able to figure this out. Canada, Great Britain, the United States remained mired in the Depression until the war came in 1939. It really is a topic for another night, but what did Hitler do right in terms of the economy? I will try to answer that, as I have before, but on another night. Okay, Hitler was right. Well, Hitler was right in warning about the dangers of international communism. And Hitler was right in trying to build or rebuild Germany's infrastructure, particularly the roads, or we call them the Autobahns. So, in some ways, Hitler was right. What did this person put the sign up intend? Who knows? I wasn't that person. However, whatever that sign says, it does not say anything about Jews. Anyway, the story from the Canadian Jewish News then says, a message in bright neon orange spray painted bright neon orange spray paint that read Hitler was right was discovered on a concrete barrier on Highway 400 near Vaughan Mills Mall in York Region, north of Toronto, on September the 1st. York Region police were called to investigate, and work crews arrived on the scene to remove the anti-Semitic graffiti Friday morning. It isn't anti-Semitic, or more accurately, anti-Jewish. I mean, it doesn't mention any people at all. According to a press release, police were called at 8 a.m. to respond to the graffiti that was seen on the side of the ramp coming off from the Bass Pro Mills Drive. Hate crimes investigators are calling for witnesses or anyone with dash cam footage to come forward. Come on, Snoop snitches. Actually, it's disgusting. This is political policing. Hate crime. There's no crime here. Well, if there is a crime, depending on who owns the concrete, assuming anybody does, it might be vandalism of somebody's property, maybe. But hate crime? There's no hate here. York Region Police will not tolerate hate crime in any form, says the press release. Good old political policing, just like in Castro's Cuba. York Region Police will, Regional Police will tolerate. Well, they won't tolerate that. Well, what will they do? Shoot you? These kinds of crimes not only hurt the community that is being targeted, but they hurt us all. Actually, they don't hurt me at all. What community is being targeted? There's no community targeted. It says Hitler was right. That's all. It's not a crime. Well, it might be vandalism, maybe. We take great pride in being one of Canada's safest and most inclusive communities. Yeah, but not if you have the wrong view. Yeah, we've got to call these puffed-up thought police on their nonsense. Yeah, but we remain vigilant in our fight against prejudice, discrimination, and hate in our community, the police said in a statement, against prejudice. So the police are now policing opinion. That's the problem. They can't catch the real criminals, but they're out after thought crimes. That's very much like a communist state. A.V. Ben Lolo, that's that dude, president and CEO of the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies. Their name gets bigger. They used to be just the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, but now it's the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies. I don't know, maybe they get extra donations if they make their name bigger. or maybe a big name impresses the idiots, but also arrives at the scene to document the incident. I guess Evie doesn't have a lot of time on his hands. In a video uploaded to the Friends of the Sun and What Reason Thoughts Center Facebook account, Benlolo called on the government to recognize and act on the increase in anti-Semitic incidents across the province. You know, this is where we have to help other people think. There's an incredible, this is from the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies press release. There's an incredible amount of anti-Semitism here in our community, here in our province of Ontario. Really? Really? Like what? Are Jews denied jobs? No. Well, as a matter of fact, Jews have more than their fair share of jobs in the entertainment, in entertainment and in the news, in the media. Anti-Semitism. You mean some people don't like Jews? Sure, of course they don't. But amount of anti-Semitism, they have special place, special privilege. We're asking the government, the Attorney General of Ontario, to please take these matters seriously, prosecute them as a hate crime, and deal with it. Well, there is no crime here. Well, there's no hate. I mean, even if it's vandalism. And we'd have to know who actually owned that property, if anything. But there's no hate here. I'm happy to see the police here are dealing with it. We called on members of the community to visit and sign a petition called Stand Up to Hate. The petition addressed to the Attorney General Yasir Naqvi and Assistant to Deputy Attorney General Susan Kyle states, okay, we'll get to that in a moment, but Yasir Naqvi, now he's a Pakistani Muslim. He's the Attorney General of the province of Ontario under the lesbian premier. He's already given his consent for the prosecution of a person who is critical of Islam. Now, see, that's political policing. Okay, so anyway, what do the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center want with their petition? White supremacism and Nazism is having a resurgence. Might be good if Benlolo could actually get somebody who wrote English. Not to be critical here, but that's a plural subject, and the verb ought to be are. You know, white supremacism and Nazism are having a resurgence. It cites the speakers at the recent Al Quds rally in Queen's Park. Now, those are Muslims. He threatened to annihilate the Jews in Israel. I'd like to actually know precisely what they said, but all right. And Your War News and any Semitic publication that's being distributed in parts of Toronto and the increase in hate crimes in Ontario. These are all the things that they're boo-hoo-hooing over. Well, Your War News is a satirical newspaper, and I happen to have seen some of the upcoming issue. It will split your sides with laughter. It'll be up on the Your War News website probably in the next day or two. It is incredibly funny and is going to burn. It's going to, as they say, trigger a whole lot of very unhappy, politically correct people. Anyway, the petition being up on the internet from the Friends of the Sun and Wiesenthal Center calls on the Attorney General to take immediate action in prosecuting hate crimes and in replying effectively to community concerns. So in other words, repression. That's what they're always into that. And, you know, and I think we've got to, I'll come back to that in a minute. Aidan Fishman, interim National Director of the B'nai B'rith's League for Human Rights. It has nothing to do with human rights. The League for Human Rights of B'nai B'rith is nothing, not about human rights. It's all about suppression of free speech that this element of the Jewish lobby doesn't like. Anyway, 2016 was the highest year on record for anti-Semitic incidents in Canada since the group began recording incidents in the mid-1980s. Okay, let me let you in on a little secret. Every year was worse than the year before. That's the big scamorama of the B'nai B'rith's annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents. Every year, you read it, you know, 2016, oh, it was much worse than 2015. 2015, they said, oh, 2015, much worse than the year before. You know, boo-hoo-hoo, we're always the victims. Things get worse and worse and worse and worse. We need more repression of free speech. Okay, now what are the anti-Semitic incidents that the annual audit or report catalogs? Well, first of all, we're not talking of crimes. We're talking of a report of an incident. What's an anti-Semitic incident? Well, okay, supposing, well, in the case of this sign, supposing some Jew driving by sees this and says, this is anti-Semitic. He calls it in. Well, that's an anti-Semitic incident. Now, it doesn't even mention Jews. You have to be pretty creative to construe that as saying anything about Jews. It's something about Hitler, and Hitler was right, although it doesn't say in which way he was right. Okay, but that'll be an incident. But you know, when you hear the figures, anti-Semitic incidents are on the rise. What are we talking about? Well, pamphlets. Somebody distributed what B'nai B'rith would consider pamphlets critical of Israel, let's say. Well, that's anti-Semitic. Okay. Even Bernie Farber, he was the CEO of what used to be the rival Canadian Jewish Congress. Even he, one time, kind of made fun of this and said, well, supposing the local, he would say, hate monger, like local hate monger, got a little bit of extra money this year. So instead of printing 100 flyers that were, quote, you know, anti-Semitic, let's read that, anti-Israel, he had enough money to print 500. And supposing half of them got reported, well, there you've got a huge increase, a doubling in anti-Semitic incidents. You see, each pamphlet would be an incident if it was reported. Supposing, hypothetically, the fellow takes his pamphlets and hands out and puts 100 on windshields in a plaza parking lot. Supposing, you know, many people just throw them away, wouldn't even read them. Some can't read them because almost half the population in and around Metro doesn't have English as a first language. But okay, let's say of the 100, 5 get are called in. Jews pick them up and get all disturbed and call B'nai B'rith and say, I got this anti-Israel leaflet on my windshield. Okay, anti-Semitic incident. There'd be 5. 5 calls, 5 different incidents. Well, according to Farber, and this makes sense, supposing next year the fellow who hands out these pamphlets is a little bit richer and he distributes 500. Well, on the same basis, let's say 5% get reported. Well, this time there'll be 25 reports rather than 5. There's a huge increase in anti-Semitic incidents. When you read the fine print in the report, what you find out is there are hardly any incidents of violence where somebody is beaten, heaven forbid, murdered, or even arson or something like that. Almost all of these incidents refer to literature or graffiti. You know, you go into a washroom, and it depends on the sort of place you go, but, you know, sometimes people write stuff on the walls of the of the stalls, you know, where they sit down, go to the toilet, somebody pulls out a magic marker or a pen and writes, you know, crude stuff, or for great sex, call Susie and puts down a phone number, and sometimes people write their political thoughts, and so on. So supposing somebody writes and puts a swastika there. Quite often people do that, they're just kids, you know, they know it's a bad thing. When I was growing up, if you wanted to shock people, you'd use the F word, fuck. Fuck that. Today, well, every 8 years old has heard it on daytime TV, so not too shocking anymore. But you want to shock the older generation? Draw a Swazi. that'll trigger them. That'll get them going. So supposing some Jew goes into a washroom, and sure enough, there in the men's stall, as he plunks himself down to do his business. He sees the swastika. He can hardly pull up his pants fast enough and get on his cell phone and call up an A. Brith and say, there's a swastika in the washroom of Joe's Tavern in Trenton, Ontario. But you see what I mean. This apparently serious-sounding document is just a crock. Okay, back to Fishman. Yeah, Fishman. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Aidan Fishman. He's the international director of B'nai B'rith. Quote, we don't have the full numbers for 2017 yet, as the year hasn't ended. Right? You know, you've got to read this stuff with a critical eye. We don't have the full numbers for 2017 yet. Yeah, for good reason. The year is only two-thirds past. But unfortunately, we're not seeing a break in the trend, Fishman says. It's disturbing to see more and more incidents like this. Well, what incidents? Come on. Jews have a privileged place in today's society. Their every concern is solicitously listened to by the politicians. Christians may complain about the LGBTQ agenda, about the perverted sex ed program in Ontario schools. Oh, they're just Christians. Who cares about them? No, Jews are in a privileged position. Some years ago, Statistics Canada reported that as an ethnic or religious group, they are the wealthiest in Canada, which isn't to say all Jews are wealthy. Of course, some Jews are poor, and just like there's some non-Jews or Gentiles who are wealthy, and many are poor. But come on, let's not accept the Victim Act. Sarah Lefton, the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, vice president of the Greater Toronto Area, said CEJA, that's the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, was disgusted by the incident. Well, what's in the incident? Said Hitler was right. Whatever that means. CEJA commends the York Regional Police quick action and their dedication to keeping our community safe. Hate crimes such as these are an affront to all those who share Canadian values. Well, I don't share the value of censorship that seems to be so dear to the heart of CEJA. York Regional Police is dedicated to keeping the community safe. I don't know about that. What about mugging or drugs? Are they up on top of that? But hate crimes. There's no crime here. You know, and this is where, I think it's your role and mine to help others think, and not fall for the lies of our kept media and political establishment. There is no crime here. There is dissenting opinion, but there is no crime. But this is the sort of hysteria that is being whipped up by the Jewish lobby, the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, League for Human Rights of B'nai B'rith, Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and with active collaborators. We've got to believe to realize many of the police forces in this country are highly politicized. They're not our friends. They basically serve minority interests, not our interests. And one thing I offer as a caution. We don't know who painted that or spray painted those three words, Hitler was right. I just always suggest that you leave open the possibility that it was done by Jews. Just to create an incident, to create sympathy for it. Now, I'm not saying it was, because we don't. I certainly don't know who did it, and it may have been somebody who genuinely believes this. But it would not be the first time, though, that a supposed anti-Semitic incident was in fact caused by a Jew. There have been examples in Western Canada of arson, or attempted arson of a synagogue some years ago, and it turned out that the arsonist was a member of the Jew of the synagogue's congregation. And you might ask, well, why would that person do that? Well, it had something to do with a dispute within within the synagogue. It had nothing to do with National Socialism or whatever. But just keep that at the back of your mind. Now, as I say, I have no idea who did it or what his or what the person's motives were, but just always something just to keep there in the back of your mind. And if it turns out that that's what happened, I told you so. I want to play a tune I played last night, and also discussed on the Trump phenomenon with Jamie Kelso and George from Maryland. That was the song "Ball Maryland, My Maryland." It is a particularly powerful song, making considerable reference to Abraham Lincoln and the war between the states. It was written in 1861. Maryland was basically kept under martial law through the war between the states. It was a Confederate state. It wanted to join the Confederacy, and it was kept by brute force. From joining the Confederacy, Abraham, when there's a were street protests, Lincoln had his militia fire on people in the streets, killing many of the protesters. And this is what lies behind a line, I believe, in the first stanza, which is to avenge patriotic gore that flecks the streets of Baltimore. The patriotic gore. I am having trouble locating this. I had it last night, and I'm going to try to get it for you again. It's a particularly good version because Ford had a extremely clear voice, and usually try to get this settled beforehand, but unfortunately with having only one computer where I am tonight, we'll see if this we can do this now. This may not be the version I would like, but this is the official anthem of Maryland. They've tried a number of times. Blacks and radicals have tried to change it, but this is a powerful, powerful song. And it's coming up right now, and it's Maryland, My Maryland. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm in the mountains of in the interior of British Columbia, and the internet connection is perhaps not all that we might like, and so it may take me a moment to get this properly what people commenting about this saying what Lincoln did to keep Maryland in the Union should go down in history as one of the greatest abuses of power by a U.S. president. It certainly was a trampling on democracy, Christina Martinkowski says, shame on the Maryland legislature for ever attempting, if we're even attempting to change the song that represents our state and the external and internal conflicts that the War of Northern Aggression imposed. The song voices what freedom is all about and the willingness of our citizens to risk all for it and suffer the consequences. We're having our problems getting this to play. I'm going to try this try another version. This is Hope, Maryland, My Maryland. And the tune is Old German Christmas to song Old Tannenbaum or Old Christmas Tree. Well, this is we're really having our problems tonight. That was the song of Virginia, the state song of Virginia. Okay.
The despot's heel is on thy shore, Maryland, my Maryland. His touch is at thy temple door, Maryland, my Maryland. Avenge the patriotic gore that flecked the streets of Baltimore, and be the battle queen of yore, Maryland, my Maryland. Hark to a wandering son's appeal, Maryland, my mother state, to thee I kneel, Maryland, my Maryland. For life and death, for woe and weal, thy fearless chivalry reveal, and gird thy beauteous limbs with steel, Maryland, my Maryland. Thou wilt not cower in the dust, Maryland, my Maryland. Thy beaming sword shall never rust, Maryland, my Maryland. Remember Carroll's sacred trust, remember Howard's warlike thrust, and all thy slumbers with the just, Maryland, my Maryland. Come, for thy shield is bright and strong, Maryland, my Maryland. Come, for thy dalliance does thee wrong, Maryland, my Maryland. Come to thine own heroic throng that starts with liberty alone, and give a new key to thy song, Maryland, my Maryland. Dear mother, burst the tyrant's chain, Maryland, my Maryland. Virginia should not call in vain, Maryland, my Maryland. She meets her sisters on the plain, Six Semper tis the proud refrain that baffles minions back amain, Maryland, my Maryland. I see the blush upon thy cheek, Maryland, my Maryland. But thou wast ever bravely meek, Maryland, my Maryland. But lo, there surges forth a shriek, from hill to hill, from creek to creek, Potomac calls to Chesapeake, Maryland, my Maryland. Thou wilt not yield the vandal toll, Maryland, my Maryland. Thou wilt not crook to his control, Maryland, my Maryland. Better the fire upon thee roll, better the blade, the shot, the bowl, than crucifixion on the soul, Maryland, my Maryland. I hear the distant thunder hum, Maryland, my Maryland. Old line bugle, fife and drum, Maryland, my Maryland. She is not dead, nor deaf, nor dumb. Huzzah, she spurns the northern scum. She breathes, she burns, she'll come, Maryland, my Maryland.
Wow, that is a great song, Maryland, my Maryland. And Gonna play another song here on our short musical interlude. There's a great country duet by Justin Trevino and Heather Miles. This time I know we're going to make it. That was Justin Trevino and Heather Miles. This time I know we're going to make it. Going to play one more tune for this short musical interlude. And this is one by Jay Jack. Very talented young woman from Texas. Started off when she was just a young teenager playing fiddle for accompanying people, singers like Leona Williams. Then struck out on her own singing and fiddling. This is an old Ray Price song. Walk me to the door. Oh, sorry.
Walk me to the door and hold me close just one more time. Leave me just once more. Go ahead.
That's Jay Jack, and that's an old Ray Price tune, Walk Me to the Door. There she is, both playing the fiddle, accompanying herself, and singing Jay Jack, Walk Me to the Door. Here's an interesting story about one of the mortal enemies of free people in the United States, particularly people on the so-called patriotic movement. And this is about the Southern Poverty Law Center. And a very interesting story here. Anybody who's ever acquired any public stature in criticizing our leftist culture here in America, whether it's on immigration, multiculturalism, feminism, abortion, etc., will have been put on a hate list or even sued by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, they are located in Montgomery, Alabama. I guess that makes them Southern. They have nothing to do with poverty, and they certainly have done very well in eliminating the poverty the poverty of their own directors. They misuse law, and I guess they're a center, but they've been getting millions of dollars in donations lately from Jews because of their perception a rising hate in America. In fact, the SPLC is great at shaking down their base. Anyway, this continues. Those of us in the know, and this is actually written by Alan, know that the organizers of many of these find themselves under attack from the SPLC. Here is a very interesting article by Joe Schopstall. Left-wing nonprofit pays lucrative six-figure salaries to top management. Now, it's supposed to be the Southern Poverty Law Center, or the SPLC, is a liberal Alabama-based 501c3 tax-exempt charitable organization. It pushes millions of dollars to offshore entities as part of its business dealings. Records show these are federal records. Very interesting. You know, they're supposedly a charity or educational organization with access to tens of millions of dollars and investing in offshore stuff. That's has the suggestion kind of sleazy stuff. Additionally, the nonprofit pays lucrative six-figure salaries to its top directors and key employees while spending little on legal services, despite its stated intent of fighting hate and bigotry using litigation, education, and other forms of advocacy. The Southern Poverty Law Center is perhaps best known for its hate map, a collection of organizations the nonprofit deems domestic hate groups, because hate is pretty broad. You know, it's anything they and their Jewish backers don't like. It lists the mainstream conservative organizations alongside more militant groups like the Ku Klux Klan, and is often referenced by the media. A gunman opened fire at the Washington, D.C. offices of the Conservative Family Research Council in 2012 after seeing it listed as an anti-gay group on the SPLC website. The SPLC has turned into a fundraising powerhouse, recording more than $50 million in contributions I think that was last year. And it's $328 million in net assets. So I'm sorry, that was they raised that in 2015. And they had net asset. They raised $50 million and had net assets of $328 million. That's quite a war chest. That's the most recently available tax, the most recent available tax form. SPLC's Form 990-T, its business income tax return for 2015 shows that they have financial interests, quote, in the Cayman Islands, the British Virgin Islands, and Bermuda. You want to go, what are they doing there? No information is available beyond the acknowledgement of the interests at the bottom of the form. However, the Washington Free Beacon discovered forms from 2014 that shed light on some of the Southern Poverty Law Center's transfers to foreign entities. The SPLC's Form 8865, that's a return of U.S. persons with respect to certain foreign partnerships for the year 2014, shows that the nonprofit transferred hundreds of thousands of dollars to an account located in the Cayman Islands. We wonder again, what for? The SPLC lists Tiger Global Management, LLC, a New York-based private equity financial firm, as an agent on its form. The form shows a foreign partnership between the SPLC and Tiger Global Private Investment Partners, 9, LP, and a pooled investment fund in the Cayman Islands. SPLC transferred $960,000 in cash on November 24, 2014, to Global Tiger Global Private Investment Partners Number 9 LP, its records show. The SPLC reported a $102,000 cash transfer on December 24, 2014, to BPV 3 Cayman X Limited, a foreign entity located in the Cayman Islands. The group then sent $157,574 in cash to the same outfit in the Cayman Islands. The nonprofit pushed millions into more into offshore funds at the beginning of 2015. On March of 2015, it sent $2.2 million to an entity incorporated in Kanana Bay in the Cayman Islands. Another $2.2 million was transferred the same day to another fund whose business is located at the same address as the previous fund in the Cayman Islands, according to SEC records. No information was available about just what these outfits do. When Lucinda Chappelle, a principal at Jackson Thornton, the public accounting firm in Montgomery, Alabama, that prepares the SPLC's tax forms, she said she does not discuss client matters and hung up. Tax experts, though, are puzzled by this. And one has said, and this is Amy Sterling Castle, CEO of Pacific Human Capital, "I've never known a U.S.-based nonprofit dealing in human rights or social services to have any foreign bank accounts. My impression, based on prior interactions, is that they have a small, modestly paid staff and were regarded by most in the industry as frugal and reliable. I'm stunned to learn of transfers of millions to offshore bank accounts. It's a huge red flag and would have been completely unacceptable to any wealthy, responsible, experienced board member." The nonprofit, that's the SPLC, pays lucrative salaries to its top leadership. Richard Cohen, president and CEO of the SPLC, was given $346,218 as compensation in 2015. He received $20,000 more in reportable compensation and non-taxable benefits. Morris Dees, the SPLC's chief trial counsel and founder, received a salary of $329,000 with $42,000 in reportable an additional reportable compensation. The minimum amount paid to an officer, director, trustee, or key employee in 2015 was $140,000 in base salary, not including other compensation. Incredible, isn't it? I mean, these are huge salaries, huge salaries for an outfit that that holds itself forth as a charity. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All these are Eastern Standard Time. I will sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. And we seem to have and we'll play just a few bars, but I'm sorry, we do have our problems sometimes when we're on the road. Okay, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me. And